And you could literally trace it that in chapter 3 there was a Sardis age in the church when the church was really dead. So that when the flames of Reformation started or tried to start, before Martin Luther came out, there was a man, a monk named Givanarola Savonarola, something like that. I may got his first name wrong a bit, but I remember that they just rhyme. Just called Savonarola in Italy, Florence. He actually preached justification by faith before Martin Luther, but he died. He got killed by the church because he didn't have someone to protect him like Martin Luther had. Martin Luther was protected because of where he was. There was a ruler that protected him. Read history. So he died. So they tried to preach the gospel and they died. And then when he reached a Philadelphia church, that's when the Reformation started. It's all the high points of Christianity. Can you imagine before it takes place, God predicted it right here in this book? All that the church will go through. And we have the Philadelphia church. Some of you are getting worried because of the seventh church. I'm also concerned, right? Oh dear, you mean Laodicea, no more revival? No, Laodicea is the time of our generation. Philadelphia church. And we are living in, if you want to call it church ages, the Laodicean age. Now, hold it there. In every age, there is always a tiny remnant called, sometimes the remnant is a lot, and that's when revival is, the overcomers. At the end of all the promises or instruction to the churches, there is always something for the overcomers. A blessing for the overcomers. Because in spite of the church, see, Jesus, through His wisdom, looking down the corridors of time, could see those peak points. And could see how society reacts to the church and how the church reacts to society. And through the seven churches, He predicts all those things that take place. And we have it as recorded history today. You could just trace it. And it's not a question of trying to make the facts fit our theory. You can ask anyone who has not read Revelation, and you say, anyone who has no knowledge of this, ask them, go and research the church and point out what are the main periods of the church without reading this. You will still find all those six. It will still be the outstanding points. Points of change of the church. See, when Constantine came to know, accept the Lord, there was a dramatic change. That one we can pinpoint. But other areas we cannot pinpoint. And you will find that they basically can be classified into those six areas. The Reformation is obvious. We sing about it today. Being justified by faith. The when Martin Luther started preaching the gospel of being justified by faith, it was a definite period change. It's interesting that all these things Jesus said. And yet in every age, there is a group of overcomers. However, there is another truth that we need to apply to this. It is not just a linear view. In every generation, all the seven churches do exist. That means that in Paul's time, all the seven churches are there. There are some churches that are corrupted, some that are persecuted, some that are faithful, some that are this, some that are that. All the seven qualities are there. So there could be seven qualities of churches, or seven positions that a church could take. But there is a quality that stands stronger than others. Just like society is the same way. Today, very seldom do they fight wars with swords and knives. You would say that there is a definite change in society. Today they fight it with guns and bombs. So society has changed. weapons of our natural war has changed. And yet, as we observe in the early church ages, all these changes, we realize that in every age, all those qualities continue to be there. Just like in our time today, there are still people who do fight with sword, but limited, small, very small area. And we realize that it's there, but it's in the background. So try to visualize, and we don't have time to illustrate, which we had done when we teach these things before in the Penang Convention. There's more detailed teaching on the seven churches in the tape series called the Penang Convention. We go into real detail. When we show that all the seven are there, but one is always prominent at each age. So for example, just take one example. For example, when you are in corrupt church, let's say Thyatira, there is a remnant that are like the Philadelphia. There are churches that are like the Philadelphia church. Then there are churches that are also being persecuted. But they are not the major, what I call, events. The highlights, the headlines that takes place. They are probably in the small columns. And some of them are in the obituary, right? But they are not in the headlines. They are headlines. And headlines are what affect the general body. The smaller lines are what affect a smaller group of people. You have international news and you have local news, right? So they will never put in the international newspaper that Tang Ting Tung fell off the flat, right? So it appears CNN came in video, see, right? It's local news, right? It's serious, you know. It's painful. Somebody lost a loved one, but it's not going to be put on the international news on CNN, right? But if there's an earthquake that suddenly takes place, right, on this planet Earth, and suddenly, you know, some volcano comes out, and suddenly Singapore land increased, shoom, two times, right? It's going to be a world event, right? We have to redraw the map. So that will be big news. So we realize that there's big news, there's little news. So try to visualize, like in our age today, we may quote unquote be like in a Laodicean church age when it's easy to be lax and easy to allow the things of this world affect us. For never before in the whole of human society have the ordinary man on the street have as much luxury as possible as in our generation. Even kings from long ago don't have some of the luxuries that we have today. We are definitely in society at large in the Laodicean age. But at the same time, we do have churches in some countries that are still in the Philadelphia state. They are really faithful to God in spite of everything. And we have some Smyrna churches in the Laodicean age today. In some countries of the world, it's more like Smyrna than any other thing. So, but those are in the background. But society at large, materialism has caught over. And it's in our times, in our generation, when men of God and their success and their ministries are measured in dollars and cents, by the size of their ministry, by their impact and their ability in the mass media, isn't that the age we live in today? So different. But that's the Laodicean church age. Now, it doesn't mean that when we live in the Laodicean age, well, I have to be a Laodicean. When in Laodicea, do as the Laodiceans do. Not necessarily. But it just means that understand the pressure that we face. Understand the pressure that we face. And when we discern it, we will be able to be among the group of overcomers. Praise the Lord. Right? That's as much as I will go on the church age. And we realize that in chapter 4 and 5, there is a dramatic change of events. Now, here is where the book of Revelation comes unfolded. The church age ends in chapter 4. When John was bodily caught up into heaven, in verse 2, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. In fact, in verse 1, it says, "Come up here." And John was caught up in the spirit. And it's a symbol of the church being caught up. The rapture takes place at the end of the seven church ages. As far as we in the churches are concerned, that's the end. We are caught up. And although for John, he saw other revelations. And it's chapter 2 and 3 that apply directly to the church. The rest are all teaching and understanding that helps us. Now what's happening here, we are living in the last days. We are living close to the end of the last days. And there, God is giving us what I call the last events until the planet Earth is completed. That's why the book of Revelation is given to us. Because this earth was given to us, or given to man to live in for a lease period, a leasehold period. The earth was not given to man freehold. Leasehold. Some say, is it 6,000 years? Good guess. Right? Good guess. And but it may not be exactly to the dot of our calculation. Which is why, you know, some extreme cults and groups, they say, Jesus is going to come when? And they say, oh, Jesus is going to come 2000 AD. Because 6,000 years. 4,000 plus 2,000 equals 6,000. So 2000 AD, right? But they're all wrong. Because somehow our calendars are not exactly exact in the counting. Plus, they are missing points here and there. Don't forget there's a change in the year, the length of the year from Noah's time. So there are a lot of changes that came take place in the world about missing years, whether there's such a thing as injury time, backslider time, half time, all this added, and it may be different. So it may change the whole thing. And you notice, I won't turn to it to save time, but Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus came to cast out devils, the devil said, why do you come to trouble us, or why do you come before the time? The time. In other words, even the demons and Satan was not expecting Jesus to really show up the way he showed up. He could guess that, hey, something is going to happen. The one who is going to bruise my head is about to come forth. And he tries to get rid of him through Herod. But somehow, the demons were not really expecting that God is going to come back and take back that leasehold. Satan stole the leasehold and the right from Adam. It was given to Adam and all his descendants. But Adam, when he yielded to Satan, Satan took over the world. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 6, the Greek word says, Satan said to Jesus, he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, these things have been handed over. The Greek word says, handed over to me. The Revised Berkeley translation and many other translations also put it as, handed over to me. Who handed it over to him? Not God. God, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, gave to Adam the dominion on this earth. But when Adam gave it or yielded to Satan, you say, how did he legally transact it? No, he was deceived into doing it. Just like a lot of people can be conned, put it this way, Adam was conned. Eve also was conned into it. So a lot of people lose money, not because they actually wanted to transact. They were conned into doing it. So was Adam. Satan was, through the serpent, a con. He's not con. He's a con serpent, right? So he came and conned Eve. Stole the right. The law of